You're listening to WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk the Town number is 395-1450. We're going to talk about bees this morning, and with us in the studio we have Jack Hartman and Don Lamb. And good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, let's talk about bees. And where are we now on the bee problems? Are we getting ahead of that? For a while we were losing a lot of hives, and is the bee problem still with us?
It's still with us as much as it has ever been.
Really?
This year in particular, with this long cold winter, is really hard on the bees. The bees don't hibernate per se, but they do snuggle up and stay warm inside the colonies, but they have no bathroom in there, and they do not like to use the bathroom inside the hive.
Yeah.
So obviously they need to get out and take some cleansing flights. We need a warm day to do that. Bees don't like to fly unless it's 45 or 50 degrees. So the January thaw and the February thaw is very important for bees. And we've had no weather that warm since,
that's right,
goodness, before Christmas. And so we have some bad things going on inside the hives right now that we can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And that translates to the loss of honeybees in Michigan over the winter and in other cold areas at this point.
Do the warm areas make up for it?
Statistically, every year we're losing one-third of our bees. And
really?
And then we just scramble like mad and take our colonies, break them in half to make two, and get our numbers back up again, and then the thing repeats itself next year. I don't know that they're closer to solving the problem, but they're closer to understanding the factors that cause it. And once we can identify them more clearly, we can take the steps to correct them.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to be a synergistic effect of 1 + 1 = 3. One bad thing plus another bad thing is more than twice as bad as it would be separately.
You mentioned splitting the colonies in half, but don't you need a queen for each half?
That's part of it. And to split a colony in half, you can take half the bees and let them make their own queen. But it's a much better system to raise another queen separately. There are ways to do that. Then add that queen to the new half of the colony so that she can take off and start laying eggs within a week or so.
When they pick their own queen, do they have an election?
Actually, they almost do, because they have larvae to choose from, and they need to choose a brand new larva that's 1 to 3 days old. And so by committee, I suppose they would choose the one that's the youngest, because that will make the best queen. They can give the youngest one the longest period of care. And there's a book out called Honeybee Democracy, and it's intriguing. And you jokingly say, do they do that by committee? But they actually do a number of things in the hive by committee, and it's an interesting book. It's an interesting read.
Really? Maybe we'd try that in Washington.
Oh, there's a cooperation factor too.
What we're really here for, though, is to tell the folks listening that there is a beginner's bee school, and when is that going to be?
That's next week, Saturday, a week from tomorrow,
okay.
February 8th. And we call it a beekeeper's boot camp is a good word for it. And it's for the folks who have just interest in bees, just exploring or possibly starting out. By the end of the day, it's a long day. It's a full day. It's a 8:30 to 4 o'clock schedule. And you can come into the school knowing nothing about bees and actually graduate prepared to have your own colony,
really?
Your own hive, yes. And we'll cover every aspect of it.
And is lunch honey or?
We have an excellent lunch that comes with it. The cost is $40. We can say that out front. But that includes all the materials. That includes 4 instructional periods. That includes coffee and an excellent lunch. And lots of experts there to help you with questions that you might have.
All right. Now, a lot of people want to get started in bees, it seems like, and they have to know how to get started in bees, and you have to buy some bees to get started, right?
That's right. Startup cost, we get that question often. Startup cost would be about $300 for a hive setup and a protective bee suit and tools and a smoker and everything like that. In other words, $300 will get you ready to go. And then with that, you have to buy some bees, and they run about $90 this year for a package of bees.
Uh-huh.
But that's the only time you have to buy that equipment, and next year there's no equipment cost. And if you can get your bees to overwinter, there's no bee cost. So it's an upfront start, and not bad at all for colony. to get going on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have seen a beekeeper, he'd go up to a swarm and he didn't, he just gave you a little bit of a smoke and they were, then he'd put his hands in there. Is that advisable?
If you know what you're doing, it's okay. Jack here is smiling with me. We have fun. Bee swarms, it's a natural way for beehive to reproduce itself. So at some point in their existence, half of them decide to leave and start a new home. So they fly off to find one. And they leave the parent colony and land on a bush or something in a big bunch, and that's called the swarm. And when that first issues, when it first comes out of the colony, it's innocuous. It doesn't need to sting. It has nothing to defend. And sometimes we are a little bit of show-offish, and we'll walk up to it and put our hand on the bottom and kind of pick it up and say, yeah, this is 2 or 3 pounds of bees, knowing that we won't get stung. But if that swarm has been there for a couple of days, then it's running out of food and it gets to be a little less friendly.
They get kind of mad.
Yeah, they will dress up for it.
Okay, I think we have a call on the line here. Yes, we do. Good morning, you're online with our guest.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, yes. I'm calling again to offer snow removal off from decks and rooftops. And
okay.
The number for that is 616-886-6649.
886-6649.
Okay.
Thank you.
Really starting to see a lot of ice backup. So
right.
Pretty important to get that off there.
Thank you. Well, sorry about that, but...
He mentioned rooftops.
Rooftops, yes.
And that's one place where people are putting beehives, interestingly enough.
Really?
If they don't have another spot, they'll put it up on a roof and attend the bees there. New York City in particular has numbers of hives up on rooftops.
No kidding.
Yeah, and they don't bother anybody because they're out of reach.
Right.
And the bees don't mind because they're just flying off to nectar sources, flowers anyway, so...
I would think those penthouse gardens would be ideal for
them. I would think so, yes.
Yeah.
New York City is experiencing a big influence of that. Bees kept on roofs and high-rises in New York City.
No kidding. Interesting. Got another call here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. With bees and a beehive, do you always have to take care of the honey, or can you do the bees without the honey?
Yes, you can keep bees without taking the honey off. However, the main reason for the keeping of bees and with most people is to collect the honey, the nectar. And that's a case of manipulation of the hives, and that's part of what we'll teach in the bee school.
Well, I know with blueberries, they evidently they rent the hives when it's time to pollinate. What happens to the honey then?
Well, that honey they store in the hives. Actually, they bring in the nectar, and they concentrate it down as they evaporate moisture out of it. But the bees are in the blueberries to pollinate. The fact that they get nectar from the blossoms is what they have to live. They also pick up pollen in the course of doing that. It's a way that's the way they make their living, is to gather honey, bring it in, and that's what they feed to the young bees, raising new bees, and so forth. That's how they keep going.
Then the honey belongs to the people who own the hives.
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. The blueberry guys don't have to do anything with the honey then.
No.
Nope, they're interested only in getting the blueberries plants pollinated so they get a good crop.
How many hives would you put in a blueberry field?
One to two per acre.
One to two colonies per acre.
Per acre?
Yes, of blueberries.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, any other questions on bees? You may call us here at 395-1450. We'll be happy to try and answer them for you. Our line is open. And a lot of beekeepers do rent out hives, don't they, for orchards and so on?
Yeah, that is true. She raised an interesting issue talking about honey from blueberries. Some of us let's rephrase that. People don't always realize that the taste of honey is determined by the floral source, the flower it pollinates.
Yeah.
So bees coming out of blueberries would have a honey that is unique for blueberries. We'd like to think it tastes like blueberry, but it doesn't. It just has its own unique flavor. Blueberry honey from clover has a different flavor. Honey from goldenrod has a different flavor. And it goes all the way from very light and mild from the clovers and basswoods to something dark and heavy, almost like molasses, from buckwheat and goldenrod. So different flowers give different tastes, and beehives that are in blueberries will have its own unique taste. There's not much honey in blueberries, so it's a short season, and there's not a lot of nectar in there. So blueberry honey is very hard to find.
Mm-hmm. But the honey can vary in color, too, by what they use, isn't it?
Yeah, by the floral source. The kind of honey that it is will range from very light to very dark.
Yeah.
And often the honey that you see in a store is usually a blend of whatever the producer packager can find, who pour it into one big pot and put it into bottles and sell it to the store. If you want a variety of flavors, you probably have to talk to a local beekeeper to see what he has for you.
Mm-hmm. No, I think somebody told me once that some honey was imported to this country.
Half of the honey, I believe it's about half of the honey consumed in the United States is imported.
Really?
We do not nearly produce enough honey to satisfy the market. The local market here has become very active. People are very interested in using local honey now. We've seen a big surge in that, and that also causes more people to want to keep bees.
Yeah. Well, I also understand that if you use local honey, it's good for something that you might be allergic to.
It has a lot of health benefits. The most prevalent one and most one discussed is allergies. By consuming local honey, that honey contains pollen of local flowers, which are, if you have asthma and are allergic to them, this builds up a tolerance for you by consuming the honey, because mm-hmm. you get a dose of medication, if you will.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, local honey has become a very good market here for us.
That's good. That's good.
And along with what Jack said, I think there's scientific studies have been done that if you take 2 teaspoons of local honey a day, the health benefits are tremendous. We follow that at home, and neither my wife nor I have had colds all season, nor flu, nor sinus, nor anything like that. And it's a direct benefit of taking the honey.
And well, I haven't had my share of honey, I can tell that.
You need some more. We'll take care of that for you.
Well, I usually take bee pollen pills that I don't know if they're good or not. I talked to a guy one time that sold them. He was from Arizona, and he sold me on it.
From what I've read and heard, they are beneficial.
Yeah.
Bee pollen is good for you.
Anything connected with a bee is beneficial.
It is. It's honey is antibacterial, antifungal, anti-germs. We have some grandchildren, boys, and when they get a scratch or an owie or something like that, our daughter will put a bit of honey on the Band-Aid and put that directly on the cut or the scrape or whatever it is, because the honey works better than Neosporin.
Really?
And it just heals things up so quickly. And we talked about health benefits. We talked to a surgical nurse this summer, and she was talking about a lady who had a C-section for a baby, and the wound wouldn't heal. And the doctor finally said, let's put honey on it, and the wound healed up right away.
Hmm.
So it just has all kinds of good side benefits from what it is.
All right. I know you don't want to talk about the benefits of being stung by a bee, but because we're not practicing medicine. But some people have told me that it's good for rheumatism. And you won't commit to that one way or another, will you?
I've been told the same thing. I get stung frequently, and I have no rheumatism.
So it must work, huh?
You can blame it that to whatever you
right,
want to go.
Right.
But, yes, there are therapy people who use bee stings as part of the therapy for rheumatism and various other disorders. They have, literally have businesses doing that.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's based on the fact that it does indeed help people.
It definitely helps people.
Yes. Most people don't like the idea of being stung by a bee, even if it does make you feel better. But we have one member of our club who has some muscular issues. And unless he has bee stings a couple of times a week, he can't raise his arms above his shoulders.
No kidding.
But once he is stung, he's fully mobile again. So there's something in it for some people, and it does indeed help. The official term for that is apitherapy.
Apitherapy. Okay, got a call here. Good morning, you're online with our guests.
Good morning. Do they sell the honey, and how much is it? Thank you.
Okay, do you sell the honey, and how much is it?
Jack gave that one to me. Yes, this is the Don Lamb part of the program. Yes, we have honey at home, and you can get it from us, and our prices are comparable to what you have in the grocery store. And I think that's probably the best general way to answer it, and it's real local honey. So contact information, our phone number is 616-335-2707. 335-2707. Just give us a buzz, and we should be there to help you.
Okay. Now, honey has gone up in price a little bit, hasn't it?
Honey has gone up a whole lot because the last two summers nationwide have been real dry, and we need moisture to produce nectar in plants and then the nectar to produce honey. So nationwide, the supply of honey is down. On the wholesale market, price has gone up over 50% in the last two years. Yeah. So there is a shortage.
Good morning, online with our guests.
Yeah. What's the difference between the store honey and their honey?
What's the difference between the store honey and your honey?
We'll answer that carefully.
A whole world of difference.
The difference really is in the processing. The key thing about honey is that it has the enzymes and the helpful things in it. And those things are destroyed if you overheat the honey. And sometimes in the processing for stores, they want to make sure the honey doesn't crystallize, so they flash heat it to 180 degrees, which is warmer than it ought to be, and unfortunately kills off some of these good guys. So you're better off, really, if you want health benefit from honey, to get it from any local beekeeper, not just us, any local beekeeper, for that reason. You'll notice that when you go into the store, the honey looks nice, it's sparkling, it's clear, and that's because they do the flash heating. Whereas if you get some local honey, it might not be quite as clear, but it's much better.
Mm-hmm.
But they also filter it very, very severely. Then they take out virtually any pollen that's in the honey naturally that we would have in our honey. They've filtered that out.
Now, if you leave honey for a long time, you get sugar in it. Is that, can you just heat it and take care of that?
Or? Just warm it up. We usually put it in a pan of warm water. Sometimes we'll pop it into the microwave for 5-10 seconds and do that.
All right. Got another call, I do believe. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Good morning. What can the guests tell us about the Burt's Bee products? Are they much better than all the other over-the-counter stuff you see?
What? Oh, the bird feed products?
The Burt's Bees.
Burt's feed products.
Burt's Bees products.
Oh, Burt's Bees. Yes. Okay, Burt's Bees. Now
B-U-R-T-S, Burt's Bees.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Burt's Bees is an interesting situation. This was a beekeeper who started to develop, he and his wife, a line of products and so forth, and it took off and it became famous. How are they different? They use them to make cosmetics and various other things. I would say they're very comfortable to.
I tend to think so. It became a huge company. I think it was bought out for a couple of years ago for over $1 million. So it's a huge commercial company, but that doesn't necessarily suggest the products are not viable. I've not experienced them. Have you, Jack?
I have not used them. I've looked at them on counters. I see them advertised all over. And I know read a little bit about the man who created it. He did. He started out to make a product. He had bees, and he wanted to find a way to market the stuff. And he's very successful at it.
And I've not heard anything negative about it.
Oh, no.
So that's positive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And you all started at a bee school.
I'm going to take time out here for the weather, and the weather is brought to you here today by our friends at, okay. at the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Just enter your business card and win a Wooden Shoe catering. All right, here's the weather, and there's a winter storm watch on right now. Saturday from 1 a.m. to 10 p.m. for Allegan County and 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. for Ottawa County. Today it'll be partly sunny with scattered snow showers and a steady to slowly falling temperatures. Yeah, it was about 28 when I got up, but it's not anymore. And snow showers likely for tomorrow, accumulating as much as 5 inches, a high of 28. And Sunday partly sunny with occasional snow showers, a high of 21. Right now we're at 21 degrees in the Tulip City. Well, with the drought in California, they must have some real problems there with their beekeeping.
California's another issue, too, isn't it? Yeah, it is an issue there. Interestingly enough, at this point, we're almost to February, there are almond trees in California. They supply half of the almonds for the world.
Yeah.
And they depend on bees for pollination, on honeybees. And about 1.5 million colonies move from all over the country to California for a month to pollinate the almonds. The problem is that almonds are a monoculture. That's all you see for miles and miles is almond trees. And the bees need things besides almond blossoms in order to gather their pollen and their nectar. So when it's dry in California and there's not much blooming otherwise, it could be a starvation diet for the bees if they're not heavily fed and heavily taken care of.
Mm-hmm. All right. What are we going to see at the bee school? Are we going to, what do we start with in the morning?
We have four course offerings. One will be on how to handle bees, which is always something that people are most concerned about, how you handle these little guys so you're not stung. We'll have another session on bee equipment. We'll show the video Tales from a Hive, which is our approach to the biology of the bees and understanding how they operate. And then the fourth offering will be hands-on building of equipment, hands-on questioning, lighting smokers, and the real stuff. And we'll have a couple of sessions in the morning, a couple of sessions in the afternoon, and lots of good bee talk.
Okay, and you'll have some things on display there also?
We will have vendors.
We'll have equipment of all necessary
beehives
to start with.
And that sort of thing,
Frames. And I'll be working with putting frames together, showing them how to do that. Because most people, when they start, they buy the pieces and packages, and there's some assembly required.
Yeah.
And to acquaint them with it, how it works when it is put together. But if they put it together, they have a greater understanding of what it's, how it's supposed to perform.
Right. Now, usually these are dovetailed at the corners, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so they can put them together fairly easy.
That's the box. That's the easy part to put together.
Easy
You've got
part.
The covers, the bottom boards, and so forth.
Okay, got a call. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Hi. I'm wondering, where is this bee school going to be?
Yeah, let's tell them where it's going to be at.
I know how much it's going to be.
Okay, where's it going to be at?
Thank you, bye.
Thank you.
The bee school is local. It's going to be held at Grand Valley State University, Holland Campus, which is behind Myers on Waverly Road there between 16th and 24th. And it starts at 9 o'clock, registration at 8 o'clock, actually. Cost is $40 for adults and for kids, 12. And of that $40, we're going to give $10 back to you in what we call B-Bucks. We will give you $10 in certificates that you can spend at the vendors that day right there at the conference. And we started to say we have vendors who will have full line of bee equipment there. We'll have bee suits, beehives, the insides of the beehives, bees for sale. Anything that somebody might need for starting with bees, we will have. We even have a bookseller coming in. So the whole works will be there. And for those folks who are ready to take that step, they can walk out with everything they need. And if for the folks that are not quite ready, they will have resources to find what they need. But $40, but $10 of that comes back right away to be spent right there at the conference.
Okay.
And we will be there to show them, encourage them, demonstrate some of the stuff, how it works, and why they need it.
Okay. I don't want to let you go without learning a little bit about what a lady asked about the other day, and that's ground bees. You don't gather up ground bees, do you?
You don't gather up. No. You stay away from them except when it's dark to put some repellent on them to kill them, to get rid of them. They generally are yellow jackets, and they are very nasty critters when they are unhappy.
Yes.
If you disturb them, they're unhappy.
They're unhappy.
They'll follow you.
We refer to them as the crabby cousins of the honeybee.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you how interesting that last half hour has been, and thank you to your guests for coming on this morning.
Well, thank you very much. Do both of you go out and gather up bee swarms?
Yes.
Yes.
What we should do is reference here the Holland Bee Club. We're members of the Holland Bee Club. We have about 200 members, and any one of us would be glad to help anybody with any of these things, but you can contact us. We haven't talked about that part yet.
Right.
We have a web page called hollandbees.wordpress.com. hollandbees.wordpress.com. And if you go to that website, you'll find the details on the bee school, and you'll find contact information for reaching us if you need help with something or questions about something. Register for the bee school, anything like that is on that website.
And I think we have a call on the line. Yes, you're online with our guests.
What date is it that this bee school is going to be? What date?
A week from Saturday, right?
February 8th.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have some a crowd there.
We hope so. We've run about 75 people. This is our third year that we've done this. And last check, we had 50 signed up already. And we usually get a number of walk-ins as well. So we're looking forward to a large group again this year.
And with the new ordinance, there are some places in Holland where you can actually have bees.
Yes, and it's just great.
Okay. And good morning. You're online with our guests. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yes. Just wondering, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't honey about the only perfect food there is? It'll never mold or never spoil at all. It'll keep basically forever.
Never is a long time.
Well, yeah.
But yes, it can, and understand what happens to it. To keep it that long, it naturally granulates, which makes it almost a solid.
Yep.
Then that, in that form, will keep almost indefinitely. 5 years is not uncommon. They found it in tombs and stuff hundreds of years old.
Actually, they found it in King Tut's tomb 2,000 years old.
We're out of time, gentlemen. Thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.